Call me the order, Chief Scar, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kim Stout.
Here.
Ryan Boyle.
Here.
Rob Gallion.
Here.
Chris DuPont.
Here.
Dustin Miller.
Here.
All right, everybody have the agenda in front of them? And is there any adjustments or corrections? Not, then I'll take a motion to accept the agenda as printed.
So moved.
Rob made the motion.
Second.
And Chris seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Citizens input?
Oh, no, I'm here listening to Rob Gallion.
Not at all. There's opportunity after the...
Sneak in behind you. Just right here. See what you're gonna say.
All right, going once. Any presenters for the, nothing to present this. We have, actually, here's a correction to the minutes, the agenda. We do need to approve the minutes from the May 21 meeting and then as well as the special meeting from last night. So we'll go with the May 11th. Meeting minutes first.
I believe we approved those the other night, didn't we?
Did we? In the special meeting? We did the ones from
this
June 3rd.
The regular one.
We did June 3rd,
previous decision. Could be wrong.
I don't know.
Just be safe.
Okay.
Motion approved, May 11th.
All right, Rob made the motion.
Second.
Ryan seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. All right, we're on to the meeting minutes from the special meeting, June 7th, 2021. Motion from Chris.
Second.
And second from Kim. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Old business. Budget hearing and adoption.
Yeah, so in front of you, we typed up a little motion for the board to make a motion on approving the budget. Somewhere.
It should be right after the budget worksheet.
Oh, getting there. Yes. Yep, got it.
So we typed that up to make a motion to approve the budget as presented.
With all the updates?
With the two updates, yes, in there.
Does the set tax rate need to be its own motion, or can that be incorporated into the one? Do we have to make that its own, or it can be lumped into one?
Are you inquiring me or Chief Scar?
I'll take legal counsel.
Okay.
Okay. I think it's fine to do it as part of the same resolution.
All right. Anyone, I can read the motion, or if anyone wants to make it as their motion.
I make a motion to approve the budget as presented by Chief Scar and the Budget Committee with the following updates. $27,000 to professional fees, as well as adding $97,957.52 to debt services, with the tax rate set at $1.1847.
All right, Chris made the motion. Is there any second?
Second.
And Rob seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passes. Thank you for your work on the budget. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Got to give Kent help from the county as well. They definitely helped me out a ton, so.
Okay, next item on old business is task force update.
I attended that meeting, and there wasn't, they asked on the chief process and the update for that, and then it was right after the EMS board members, once we found out who was elected. And I don't think Chief Lapine could attend, and so there wasn't a ton of discussion on that. And still kind of just the check-in, was waiting to see about our process with hiring a new chief, and then probably more to come once the new chief is in and after those board members take in on their side of things. The next meeting is, I believe, June 17th in the afternoon. So.
June 17th?
Yeah.
Who's the list of invitees to that? It's you and
Scott Acog, Gus, and Jeff Rasmussen, Chief Lapine, Rob, and myself.
Okay.
Right now.
Anything from your side of it?
No, I missed the last one.
All right. How about CAD data?
Yeah, so on the CAD data side of it, dispatch is working on making their selection on their new CAD system. We should hear soon on what it's going to be. I think they have to make a decision here very shortly. Talking with Renee Heidi, sounds like that's going to be still quite the process once the changeover is, even up to 2 years of changing over that completely. But I would say that the relationship with us and dispatch has definitely been great. It's easy to just pick up the phone and call if we're having a question about something, or we actually had two of their supervisors come in, I think a week ago, come in and visit again, and that was the second time in the last couple months. I also did get the invitation to go up there now. Their dispatch console is open now, so I would like to get on the schedule to do that, and then also for Leanne to go there as well, just to see how their system was, and just to go see them. So just kind of continuing that relationship. So, we're still trying to work through things all the time with their system and our system, and but the conversations have been really open and good dialogue. Just as, for an example, one of the discussions this last meeting was Eureka. So we've always had that Eureka line of anything south of Eureka, our 1702 station gets toned out. Anything north of that, 1701 gets toned out. And that's kind of been that dividing line between the two stations. And so we've talked about some maybe shading on their map color, and so it's very identifiable for them to easily be able to tone out 1702 for that. So just things like that, for example, of that we've been working on. So
will their new CAD system support that kind of stuff, where they could just type in an address and a list?
I think with that, whatever they choose, and I can't remember there's another vendor, they went down to Vegas, I think, or something, and just sat through a, but the only two that I know that I've sat through was Motorola Solutions and Tyler Cap. And then there's another one that's out there that they were looking at, and I don't know which one it was. But from what it sounds like, any of the new option that they go with, the technology of it will be enhanced very well, and so it should help with mapping and everything else that we need, so, along with them on the law enforcement side too. So,
how long has the existing system been in place?
I want to say it was at least 10 years, but potentially older. It's the EIS system, but I don't know how long that they've, since we've had Frontier as our dispatch. I know that, so. But I can't remember how long that they've been on that system. So.
Okay.
But that's all I got for CAD.
All right. Anything else from the board on that? Moving on to item D, old business, the fire chief update.
It was unanimously decided after long deliberation that we're going back out. We interviewed Thad Olson with Cloverdale, Sean Meyer with Crooked River Ranch, and Bob Schulman. And after interviewing yesterday, all three were unanimously decided to go back out for a second round of recruitment through Western Fire Chiefs. On your packet, we'll have the new timeline. Attached in that email with the new timeline
just the board members
for recruiting. They were recommending a 60-day cool down period before going out and reapplying or re-advertising. Talking with Ann, my question, biggest question was why. She stated that they're seeing the same 30 applicants. They've got four other chief or CEO type recruitments going on. They're seeing the same 30-ish apply. They're hoping by, and this wasn't just her, this was in concurrence with Van Lubin, and Johnson, that Chief Johnson, they were all in agreement that by waiting 60 days, they thought it would freshen up the pool, per se. They're not impressed with the 30 that they keep seeing apply. So,
makes sense.
Anyway, so that is where we at. We are currently at. She did offer, you know, the offer still out there for the interim chief if we feel we need that option or want to exercise it. Just got my mind. Lives at Crooked River Ranch.
Yeah, it's probably, well, there's a ton of them that live at Crooked Ranch, but I would imagine it's probably
Hoffman.
Hoffman,
yes.
He did interim at Crooked River.
So
he was a Tivol Valley guy.
And he'd be looking, and he'd be, I think the email stated 6 months, July to December. Don't know the guy. That's all I got. They did want to, sometime between now and thought it was next week, Zoom with myself and Dusty, and Ann, Brett, and Chief Johnson to try to kind of rehash everything, see what our focus. I think we got our, to, personally, I think our, we got a clear picture now, I think, of exactly what we're looking for, whereas before. But.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we as the board are concerned, and we Casey and I talked last night on the phone, it's we really don't want to bring in an interim that doesn't know the business, but we're totally happy to do that if the staff feels like they need the support. Like if we're entering the summer season, if you guys feel like you're being short-staffed and not being able to decompress in the business as you should, we're happy to do that and kind of give you a little bit of reprieve. But if you're fine, if you're comfortable, we need to maybe look at some alternate staffing strategies or something. It's up to you, and we're open for input. You just have to let us know.
Yeah. For myself, you know, just I'm okay as long as the board's happy and staff is, you know, we're all good there. I think that some of our conversation last night was looking at potentially adding staff to a part-time or something. And I think that would help on that other end. You know, as long as the board's comfortable with where we're at, how things are being operated right now as a from my level, and just knowing that we still have a list of things to accomplish in the future and still not having a chief in the position right now, it's still going to be waiting even with another interim anyway that stuff may not get tackled, you know, such as policy and things like that. And so as long as everyone's okay with that, and then, you know, we are set forth in the summertime to be operating and responding to calls as they come in. But I think, you know, obviously in the future, I think we've all had discussions on this about where we need help is in the operation side of response, you know, being able to give people some time off and having extra responders. But and then, you know, with a potential busy summer, having extra responders is a lot what we need. But I mean, if any other staff has comments or anything too, I just want to make sure that the board's comfortable with what I've been doing, and then I'm willing to continue that, not knowing what the time frame was going to be.
Yeah.
And that didn't necessarily change my mind with the 60-day thing. It just, I wasn't sure what the turnaround would look like once Dustin had a conversation last night. I didn't know if it was going to be 3 more weeks, you know, and it's just a quick turnaround, or if it's extended. So, but
any staff comments?
I don't know myself. I don't think I'm ready to comment. I think it's something that we need to talk about a little bit more together and see what our needs, knowing that it could go a little bit longer or whatever. I'd be more comfortable doing that than stepping on my tail here by just putting some information out that, you know, I haven't really thought through.
Staff's just hearing about it for the first time right now, so. You know, I slept on that, you know, knowing a little bit.
And Chief knows where I stand, and he can tell you if he wants to, in your guys' conversations. So, we haven't talked about this aspect, but just kind of overall overview and that kind of stuff.
Personnel?
Yeah, personnel-wise.
Just that balance, yeah.
I don't, for me as a board member, I don't expect you to make a decision right now. I would encourage you guys to meet as a staff and kind of take a look at what your needs are, and maybe look at just keeping in the back of your mind, it may take us till early winter.
Right.
The way this process is going, I can see it easily going that long.
Yeah, if they've got November 5th as the final interview date, you know, that's early November. You won't get anybody until middle of December.
What the holiday is, January 1st?
Yeah, it could be a few days before we get somebody in the office.
Yeah.
Well, that leaves me to wonder if we can operate a year without that position. Do we need to pay $130,000 for that position if we're doing it without it? I mean, if that's an important position and we can do it, I mean, it makes me wonder. That's a long time going without a position that we've in the past relied on. And so how can we do it now? And if we can do it now, can we do that indefinitely? I mean, I don't know. It just makes me, those are the thoughts in my mind. It's like, holy cow, a year without a chief. And that's a long time. But if we're so good at it, then it makes me wonder, a year without a chief, we did it so well. I don't know. I'm glad you guys are board members. I mean, that's a tough decision.
I think that's where we need your guys' input, is how taxing is it for you as staff.
Well, I know for Casey in the past, it's been nice to have two chiefs that can alternate. We kind of always informally tried to have one chief in district. With Casey, he's only the only chief, and so what you're doing is you don't have always one chief in district. You have a chief or a duty officer, and so you just take away one level of availability is all. And so you raise us up almost into a chief position, or Casey never leaves type thing. And so it just changes the dynamic, where we always had two tiers, and now we've got Casey or one of us. It just removes a level. I don't know. Really, I would assume the burden's on Casey the most, and not on the captains, because Casey supervises us.
But just keep in mind that the decisions we make is based off the information that's presented to us. We don't know the ins and outs of everything you guys do. So it's something that we want to get away from doing in the past is making on-the-spot decisions.
Well, it certainly leaves us a lot to think about, for sure. I just wanted to say something and not be silent, because my silence would make you nervous, I think.
But understandable.
Well, Rob looked right at me when he says comments from staff.
But the decision we made last night.
Well, yeah, and I trust your guys' decision in deciding what's best for the future of the department. I mean, that's why you're here, so I support you in those decisions.
Yeah.
I just don't know if we should be asking for an interim chief. I mean, that's tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough decision.
And that's why I kind of ask, you know, what's expected during this time, right? You know, to help balance that. Obviously, we're not going to be accomplishing everything we can. You know, there's a fire marshal aspect. There's policies, procedures. There's a lot of those things that are still out there, and not necessarily with an interim, it would just change. But if the board's okay with us operating as is, in a sense, you know, then that helps us with our decision making too.
I think we have a level of understanding that we're not expecting the same level of service when you have five staff members.
Yeah.
There's definitely, we understand that. And so in the past we've said, respond to calls, take care of the volunteers, keep the business side running, and we'll worry about things as they come, and try to keep an eye on the future, but
yeah,
it is what it is, and we'll deal with it. All right. Well, let us know.
Okay.
Let's talk about any other old business or anything else on the fire chief's update. Moving along to new business, Item A is tenders.
So we I added tenders to the list of items to discuss whether or not we would like to pay off the tenders, the remaining loan. For those, it doesn't have to be decided today. There could be discussion, but I wanted to bring it up to have that discussion tonight.
Do you have any? What's the papers or what is
balance
it?
Owed.
Yeah,
balance owed.
Interest. Payments.
Yes, I do. I left. I didn't get that printed out for you guys.
See, this is what you get when you have a chief.
So the remaining balance is $97,957.52. And I think with paying it off, we were going to gain, just with interest alone, was going to be $10,475.50 was what we were going to gain by paying them off early. And then not to mention, as we move forward in the future with the $24,000 payment each year, $20,000 for the tenders and then the interest payment. So, because right now it's estimated to be paid off 6/15/2026.
So. For me, it doesn't make any sense that if we keep adding to our reserve fund, or it's not even a reserve fund, it's just our general.
Yeah.
Why are we paying interest on something that we can just pay off? Then we just put that much money into our budget also.
Yes.
I think it's solid advice.
I have a copy of the budget. What's our fund balance?
That was the updated worksheet after the budget committee.
So we're going to end up 1.3. Essentially, we added more than that to our balance from the previous year. So this makes sense for us to spend that money and pay it off and save interest.
I agree.
Okay.
Would anyone like to form that in the
specific amount?
Right here on that.
Well, I don't know that you
can pay a specific amount for your payoff amount. Right. It'll be a payoff amount. I'll make a motion to go ahead and pay off our equipment financing with after July 1st.
After July 1st.
Right. As we budgeted for that in the next yes. budget cycle.
I have a motion on the table from Chris. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Rob. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, take it to a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. New business B, something I can probably talk about. The volunteers, I don't remember how this all transpired. They were changing volunteer officers. I went down to sign signature cards to get signature authority on the accounts. Turns out that the volunteer association account is sharing the same tax ID as the fire district, apparently as the Central Oregon Fire Chiefs Association as well. It was something that happened in a couple administrations previously. It's not a huge deal. I just have a letter here on behalf of the board stating that we're aware the volunteers have the same taxpayer ID number and granting them ability to use it still. I don't know much about it. I know we've had issue with it when getting credit cards, but it was just one of those things. That
one of the issues is, if you think about having a business, let's say you have Dusty's Corporation that has your tax ID number, now you're allowing somebody else who you work with to utilize your tax ID number. So now who's responsible for any taxes or any liabilities that arise? I mean, technically the volunteers are probably covered under our business umbrella, but
yeah,
there could be, at some point, there could be some IRS issues.
I'm less worried about the Volunteer Association since they're an entity that's been around probably longer than most, but the Centurion Fire Chiefs one is still kind of a weird ordeal.
I thought that was straightened out about 3 years ago by Chief Walker, the Central Oregon Fire Chiefs. They were at one time utilizing Jefferson County Fire District's tax ID number, but I thought they got that all straightened out, and it had to come up with it. There was a couple of different grants that really brought that up, and they had to get that resolved before the grants were allowed to be.
Yeah, I think they were awarded a grant and received a check with our name on it.
Correct. But Chief Tucker is the one that was working through that, and I thought that was all done. And I thought our Volunteer Association, when they got their nonprofit status,
yeah,
I thought that released them out from under the tax ID.
They have to apply for their own tax ID number, and I don't know that ever happened.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought there was.
They have their own association, but the tax ID number doesn't automatically come with it.
Okay.
And they did apply. They did get a 501c3 through Rick Krause. I think Rick Krause had one in his back pocket, and somehow morphed it into being the Volunteer Association 501c3.
The Volunteer Association, did they get some recognition as a tax exempt entity from the IRS?
The volunteers have the 501c3.
So yeah, so they've been recognized.
Yeah.
They can apply for their own tax ID number then. It takes 5 minutes on the IRS website. It's really easy. That would potentially.
I would recommend that they do that.
Yeah, cure the situation.
They do have to then file a tax return.
Yeah.
I do it from their show, so it's a hassle.
Yeah, and they do it.
It's Form 990, but it's not.
They work through it every year, and it's a pain. They get rejected, well, they get multiple letters, and they work it out.
They must have a number. I mean, I'm hearing two things. One is they don't have a number. They're in the fire budget that you're saying they're filing on their own now.
This year they filed with a professional because there have been so many issues in the past. But it didn't come up then. It came up on the, or just showed that it shared, but the IRS.
It can't be both, though.
But is when they tried to get the name change over at the bank is when it got caught, or where the issue came up this time. Which they've changed names in the past, too. As volunteer officers rotate through, they've changed names through that, and it hasn't been an issue in the past. But this time, it created.
I'll see Aaron in the morning. I'll mention it to him, and
okay,
we'll explore the
I'm inclined to think Rick might be correct there, because if they got 501c3 tax exempt status from the IRS, the IRS would allow them to have that status under shared tax ID number with the fire district. So maybe it's just still a record keeping issue with the bank. They still show it as a shared ID number, but the Volunteer Association could very well have their own tax ID number. So that's probably the inquiry that I would.
Maybe we could get a copy of the tax return from the
yeah
the association and go verification that way. Because I would tend to say that, you know, I would caution signing that because it really should be separated.
All right.
We'll follow up with Aaron and Volunteer Association. Oh, well, I'll defer signing the letter for now and report back to the next meeting.
Okay.
Staff reports.
Yeah. The 2021 monthly board report. For operations, we had 89 calls this month. Matter Station had 75, Culver had 74. Unable to respond, we had zero. We had...
Sir? Is that for the month of May?
Yes.
There's a call out in Culver that... What are Three Rivers that you guys
weren't
able to respond to?
Sometimes we'll get toned out for a Three Rivers call, but it's not a response area. So EMS would still go to it, and Lake Chinook would take it. Or was there
one? So like if the ambulance says, we need you guys to respond, I don't know what the situation is, but ambulance, once you respond, but you can't get a crew, that doesn't fall under unable to respond?
It would,
because it's out of your area.
Yeah. So if it's, but where we, because sometimes we've had where they've toned us out accidentally, on like a Lake Chinook type call.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly which one that is, but if the Lake Chinook got a medical call, we've accidentally been toned out before, but it's not our response area. So EMS is going,
right.
And then Lake Chinook, if they have a crew there, they will go, but. Was it in our district?
I'm trying to remember what day it was. towards the end of the month, it was like on the 27th. I was in Scannerland. But it was like a ambulance requested fire to a medical call at Three Rivers. But if that's... So there's a conflagration and they say, Jefferson County, can you respond to wherever? And you say, no, we can't. That's not a unable to respond. That's just not a call because you didn't respond.
No, I think, well, I feel like that one would be more of an unable to respond because we couldn't fill the conflict. Well,
this, I think maybe what you're talking about is the AFib at Geneva Cemetery?
Yes.
Where
that's
I think Andrew Glenn was going around, and I think he might have requested us to respond, maybe.
Mm. Oh.
For a landing zone.
Yeah, for
cardiac. Honorable cardiac.
Yeah, that is. That rings a bell.
I don't know if they actually landed, but I think they landed a helicopter.
At the airport.
Yeah.
In Three Rivers?
Yeah.
Geneva. They were up Geneva.
Yeah, the Geneva.
Yeah, you almost better to request mutual aid from sisters when you're in Geneva.
I think the statistic is more, the value of the statistic is you're called to respond, whether or not it's your area or not. Someone requests you to respond, and a vehicle doesn't leave the fire station. I think if you get, statistics are statistics.
Sure, right.
But if you get too much into the weeds on whatever, start to, and you could even put in there, like, we're unable to respond to two calls, and here's
what they were, yeah. Because typically I'm trying to make sure that if we don't get a response out of the Culver station on a medical call in our district, but I guess I didn't realize that we did get toned out to that more than just a, you know, that if they toned the wrong station, then it meant to tone 1301 for that call.
Right.
But...
Well, I'm not sure, I don't remember.
It
wasn't that we stood here and waited for Culver to respond and they didn't. I think we essentially declined the mutual aid, I mean, to go out out there to land a helicopter when they've got the LZ established. I think it was unclear, and it was so far out by the time it would have got there, because they were already well on their way, that it was a, I can almost have to talk to Andrew Glenn to find out what he was thinking.
But I think with your talking about, like, with the mutual aid requests and stuff like that, tracking those would be good, because if we can't go down to mutual aid Warm Springs, for example, and we can fill it, you know, I continue to think about the fire on 26 when we got asked to go to that call with the barn on fire east.
Oh, the barn.
It was like a mile from Crook County's fire district. You know, we got toned out for that. You know, they even said they would pay, but we didn't have the capabilities to send a crew out there for that. And that's a tough one to track all around, right? Because it's not mutual aid, or it's no man's land, but
that scenario exists in every fire district.
Sure, right.
In Oregon, like, we're not sending a truck to Clarno because there will be nothing left when you get to Clarno. Unless there's a life threat. I mean, that's
right.
Situation.
Yeah. We'll monitor those and then make sure we try to get them on there. And, you know, saying why we're not or what it is, you know, would help with that too.
Yeah.
We had 5 building fires, 2 car fires, 1 rubbish fire, and 1 dumpster fire. We had 2 house fires in Warm Springs we mutilated too. Total calls to date is 310 for the Matter Station. Culver Station's 86 for a total of 396 right now. Average response times for the month, it was 7.4, and that's the tone out to arrival. And then up to date for the year is 7.3. values at risk for the month was 62,160. Values lost for the month was 50,000. A lot of that came probably from the fire in Metolius. And there might be one more, but I think that's the majority for that building. Values of risk at date or to date is 1,180,090, and then values lost to date is 200,300. Fire prevention. We had 4 station tours last month. And then, so Tracy's been helping us out with fire code comments, and so we put that as in activities right there. And then also 2 inspections, and then none for the juvenile fire setter program at this time. Volunteer program, our current roster right now is 41. Volunteers added was 0, lost was 0. In district, we have 23. 7 out of district, 8 associates, and 5 interns right now. Mark, do you mind hitting training?
Sure. In May, regular training day, we completed our Firefighter 1 Academy at the beginning of the month, so the hours in May were dropped because we weren't having the academy, so we have 213 in-person hours and a bunch of stuff on Target Solutions. A slow certification month. We've got 2 of our guys got their wildland firefighter type 2. We reinstated one of our volunteers who had been inactive or less active for a while. And then students, we've finishing up our student interview process and we've made offers to 2 students to start hopefully this month. So we're still training and we're still trying to retain and recruit more students.
Kirk, you want to touch on the hydrant?
How many students do you currently have?
We have 5 students and 1's going to graduate, and we try to maintain 6. And so we're going to be down.
And leaving, so that would put you at?
4. So we're filling 2 positions. Reed's position, and we have a currently vacant one right now. And people aren't knocking down our door to come in, and I think it's just interviewing some of these younger folks come out of high school. It's a different generation. That's all I can say about that.
They don't like you, or
way different than you and me.
Maybe you need to fire up an Xbox.
Well, you know, I have opinions I think I will not share in this court meeting. Just the kids, the caliber of applicants we're seeing is different. There are no Kip Gray, Mark Johnson types, you know, that's what I'm saying, Dustin Miller types. Casey Scar, Kirk Hagman types.
Thank you, I was waiting for mine.
Well, one thing we pride our process on is we take people who we think are teachable, malleable, you know, some that we can influence, and we try to have a positive influence on them. Whether they're going to be a successful firefighter paramedic someday, or we just teach them some life skills and send them on their way to a different career, you know, we know we're getting good kids that just probably need a little bit of help and get out the door, and I'm okay with that. Because for 2 years we get work out of them. I mean, it's a labor of love. I'm always open for input.
This is what I think it would be just invaluable in the future, just to have some kind of program going with the high school.
Yes.
You know, like the guy from Montana talked about. You know, I mean, it's just started it like a CTE type
program. Yeah, they're like explorer type programs. There are some schools, and we've had some people do work release, so they've come here and worked here, but literally they wanted a career somewhere else. Like, we haven't got anybody from the high school through our, we've had a couple of great successes in our junior firefighter program where they can start at 16 and be involved. So Sam Scheidemann, Isaac Fisher, but a lot of the kids are sports, scholastics, the young guys are always chasing girls. And we've got a couple on the roster right now that we don't see, but once in a blue moon. I mean, it's a tough time. So yeah, we have tried some programs in high school, but there's definitely, we can try it harder.
Have you been working with Debbie at all?
Right.
I can't remember.
Debbie Taylor.
I'm searching for her last name there.
Is she the one that advises to her career day?
I was going to say, she might have been the one that, before COVID and stuff, we went and did career day.
It's a pretty new thing, but that's what she's setting up, like intern type or work study with all different areas, but she's kind of...
She's fairly new in the position, I think.
Okay. But she's kind of a go-getter with it, too. I mean, I think she would...
But she's been fairly aggressive.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a group of kids, you know, that could just be their niche.
We've got an intern with us right now from Bridges.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to be a firefighter when he grows up. So, I mean, he wants to work forestry and biology, and that's awesome. And so we're helping him in any way we can, but ultimately we know that we're, again, teaching him some skills, giving some opportunities and some experiences, but he's going to go off in a different direction.
It would be worth reaching out to Debbie, though, I think.
Anything else on training?
Nope.
Kirk, you want to hit lighter man?
Yeah, I got 26 hydrants tested last month after being out 7.2 days of sick leave during the month for various reasons. So the number's fairly low this month. Hope to have that higher next month. Total hydrants tested is 51, and then we'll start flushing the hydrants after we've got the hydrants tested. The testing takes priority. That way we can put a number and staff with them versus just making sure they open and close like they're supposed to.
What's your goal of how many to test?
I'm going to be testing approximately 108 to 112 every year, and then we...
And that's out of how many?
Current is 614 right now, including the new development up at the golf course back here on Strawberry Heights and then a couple other places. So every fifth year is the goal, and originally before the personnel change, we wanted to flush all the rest of them every year.
We got about a third ish of them done, I'd say. So I saved that information so we can go back and get everything we didn't get last year and try to make the most of the time we got. So that's kind of where we're at now.
And Kirk's tried to do good about if we need to use a hydrant for any reason, to mark that one as at least flushed, you know, because it's been open, we've used it.
Or if there's a tail left on it, or I see the construction guy using it, I know it works, because if it didn't, they just go to the next one.
Kirk, since we're on, you want to hit on EMS too?
Yeah, I can. So 2AED grant applications opened up at the beginning of this month. I haven't applied for those yet.
AED.
Automated external defibrillator. Little zap boxes.
Thank you.
So we've got some grants coming up for those, and I need to get those filled out, but they just opened up on Monday. So I'm working on modifying the EMS inventory. It got a little stagnant there over the years, so we're trying to make some updates and some changes and make it our own, while also trying to incorporate our partner agency in the area. That way there's a lot of cross-compatibility between the two agencies, trainings, and that kind of stuff. An MCI, multi-casualty incident.
Thank you.
You are welcome. The Sheriff's Office has an MCI trailer available that they got through grant sources, I believe. And it is staged and available up at their yard. And we can get it, EMS can get it. We can use it on incidences. We can have it pre-staged at the air show, for example, the fairgrounds, any large gathering of people. And that's new enough that we haven't even gotten a chance to go through it yet. So hopefully next Tuesday or somewhere around there, we can kind of start that process.
And Chief Lapine is the one who took care of the inventory piece of it and kind of let us know about it, and mentioned that we can still, if we want to, we could put our decal on it. They put an EMS decal along with the Sheriff's Office. And then if we want, we can add ours on there too. And so just trying to incorporate that and have those on big events.
And that's also done through our emergency manager as well. He's participated with that.
Yes.
Good.
And then we got some regular training coming up next Tuesday. So we're still doing that once a month. And thank you guys for having the meeting this Tuesday.
Tom, do you got anything for?
Yeah, I do. And I don't know why it didn't get through the wall. I've got a copy of it myself, but I, for some reason, wasn't putting it in the right place for Leanne to share with the rest of you. The wildland fire units are in service. I went through, serviced everything, made sure we're ready to go for the fire season. Our type 6 got back from Monco, and it was a successful patch on the foam tank. We had a crack in one of the seams, and we were filling our water tank with foam. We were batch mixing every time we filled the water tank. So that was taken care of successfully, and we made a couple of little services to the foam system, and we're operational on that unit. Jefferson County Road Department, they're going to come in and do some crack sealing in our parking lot to try to help extend the life on it. Our new parking area is what seems to be cracking the worst right now, and so I want to get a jump on that. So that way we can maybe look in 2 years of putting a seal coat over everything. They came in 3 years ago and chip sealed the back. I don't know if that was the best thing to do, but it is allowing that asphalt to last a little bit longer. It's done its job. It's tough to train on. It puts a lot of wear and tear on our hose and stuff, but still it makes the surface pretty tough. But what they'll do is they'll come in the front end, and any of the cracks in the back, there's very few, but they'll come in and seal those, make sure we don't get any moisture underneath the existing asphalt. Annual hose testing will be the next main project, and I'm hoping to begin that here in a couple of weeks. Like we were saying, this would have been a great week to start that, but personnel-wise, we got to wait for it to get good and hot before we do that. So that's all I have, unless you got some questions for me. Okay, thank you.
Chief, I've got a couple of random updates that don't involve EMS or the hydrant program. So we got the intergovernmental agreement back from the military, so we're set up and we're good there. So thank you guys for working on that. And we're going to put that to use this Saturday. The military is going to be jumping from 1 to 6. I got a couple guys going up there to provide the standby for that. So, and then along with the crash fire rescue or ARF aspect of it, the air show is a go this year. So
it's only 2.5 months away, Dusty.
So we'll be doing some prep for that here in a while and getting ready. And since the air show always has fireworks, we got July in between. Firework applications are coming in. Thankfully, we have an associate named Tracy who's really helping us along with that. And 4 address signs were also installed last month. And I believe that this will be reviewed, or I've mentioned this before, but we did get a Volunteer Firefighter Association grant from the state. It's $20,000. We spend 10, or we'll spend it, and they'll give us 10 grand back, pretty much is what it comes down to. And that'll be going for structure PPE, wildland PPE, and a whole slew of structure moves.
Now for the counting, it's on the attachment on the front.
Do you have anything under administration?
Just real quick, want to hit a couple things. Tom went down and did it today, but filling the dunk tank for a field day for the school. He went down and did that today. We added a volunteer just a couple days ago. I have one interested, and then we have 2 applications out right now, so maybe getting a couple more volunteers this month. As Captain Hagman hit on the grant, that one is a 50-50 match, and then we also were awarded a Oregon State Fire Marshal's Wildland Urban Interface Assistance Grant. The amount for that one was $18,269, and that one is 100%, so we don't have to match that one at all. So the one that's a 50-50 match, what that will come out of in our budget line item would be fire equipment less than 5,000, so just help with extending of that budget line item. And then the 100% grant is just gonna actually add to that as well, because both of them, the WUI grant was for 3-inch, 2.5-inch hose, 1.75-inch hose, and then also wildland hose, nozzles, and wildland PPE. So with those 2 grants being successful, we're able to add to our inventory quite a bit. So Hagman already hit 2, that looking at some AED grants to help with that as well, trying to replenish our AEDs. And then just wanted to hit that I attended a incident safety officer class May 22nd and 23rd, and we also had 2 volunteers that went with us. Thought it was a really great class, had a really good instructor, and hopefully we can get that instructor back in Central Oregon again, and then also send more of our staff to that and volunteers if available. So been working with GIS on our maps. That's been a really good process. They've actually been trying to update our district boundaries, and so they've been looking at tax lots, and we've been also going through our contract and agreements and trying to label those. And so along with those maps that they're updating, they're also looking at giving us a more of a wildland urban interface map that will have address points of homes, and that way we can share with Central Oregon Resources coming. And so it would be an aerial view of a map, and then with, so you could see the fuel type that's in that, and also with the tax lots and address points for those. So hopefully we can get that going soon. Other than that, I mean, that hits most of my admin and operations stuff going on, so.
When does the radio upgrade project start with the sheriff's office?
I was hoping for a timeline, because I was just in meeting with Jeff yesterday down at the county, and he was talking about that too, but when it was coming up, not sure. So Jeff with GIS, not Jeff Rasmussen. But. Yeah. Two places at once, right?
Right.
Yeah. I don't have a date on that, on when that's starting.
The monthly bank accounts.
Just an observation. Where you put the difference, you might put a negative sign. Oh. The account balance is going down versus going up.
Yeah. Good catch.
Wait, being negative is my job. We're trying to deal with those guys.
Exactly.
That's my job, you do. I try. I work so hard.
We're moving on to paying the bills. Any motion out there?
Pay the bills as presented.
Motion from Rob.
Second.
Second from Ryan. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Citizens input. Public comment on or off the agenda.
Really?
Additional comments or announcements from board or staff?
Notifying the applicants.
Probably would be best to call them one by one, and I can do that tomorrow. Before I leave, I'll make sure that I have the phone numbers, but I think it's in that original email. I'll give them each a call and let them know that what our current status is. And okay. Any other additional comments or announcements? Okay. Hearing none, we'll adjourn at 6:32.
Wow.